Welcome back. 437, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. My next guest is Rowan Scarborough of the Washington Times. He's got a story in today's paper, F-22 Raptor Pilots Make Problems Public, and he joins me now. Hi, Rowan, how are you?
Hey, Andy, great to be with you.
Thank you. The F-22 Raptor, this is America's most sophisticated fighter jet. In my mind, this is the Lamborghini of the fleet, but it's got some real problems, right?
Well, it has a very basic problem in that pilots don't always get enough oxygen while they're flying at fairly high altitudes, 50,000 feet sometimes, and they're coming back and reporting symptoms of hypoxia, which is, you know, not enough oxygen in the blood system, and they become disoriented and they have feelings of dizziness, and it can and obviously can affect them and their ability to carry out their mission. So the Air Force has known about this now for 4 years, and they have not been able to correct the problem despite putting together task forces and scientific review panels. And so it really came to a head Sunday night when two F-22 pilots suddenly appear on 60 Minutes and complain about a plane that they are actually flying, which I think is kind of unprecedented in the history of the military.
Yeah,
so
I
that's where we are.
Yeah, I don't ever recall something like that happening in my entire life, because mostly all of that stuff is handled internally. And as you mentioned, that I guess they haven't been able to come up with an answer that satisfies people who have to actually fly the airplane. Now, why not just simply ground the airplane until the problem is fixed? They continue to fly missions, right?
Well, if the Air Force did ground the plane last year for 5 months, and they could not find the cause of pilots not getting enough oxygen. So I think from their point of view, if we, long-term ground the aircraft, people in Congress are going to start saying, why are we funding the operations of this plane year in, year out if you can't fly it?
Yeah.
So they instituted what they believe are safety measures. Primarily, pilots now wear a oxygen monitoring device that immediately will tell them if their oxygen level is going down, and they need to bring the aircraft, they need to either turn on emergency oxygen or bring the plane down to a lower altitude. And with that, the Air Force has declared that it's safe to fly. Now, obviously, these two pilots on 60 Minutes did not believe that.
Now, that's fine and dandy if you're out just practicing, but if you're in a real wartime situation, pilots shouldn't have to worry about that, so obviously they need to work to finally correct the problem. But I believe there's a whole lot more here, isn't it? I mean, politics are involved. This was an incredibly expensive project from the very beginning. Many people deemed it unnecessary, so I guess it would be a total embarrassment if they did have to shut down the program.
That's right. I mean, the plane cost $80 billion for the 160, 187 that are now flying operationally. The Air Force put a lot of political capital into getting Congress to fund this plane in the 90s and the past decade. And if they kind of, threw in the chips and say, hey, this plane just isn't safe to fly, what then happens to their next plane they want, the F-35?
Yeah.
Which is also in trouble because it costs too much and it's having technical difficulty. So you're right, Andy. There's a lot at stake that the Air Force keeping this plane operational, even though, it's been operational now for 7 years, yet they did not use it in any of the war, Libya, Iraq, Afghanistan. It's never been used.
Yeah. These two pilots that went on 60 Minutes, have they been disciplined in any fashion?
Yes, one of them was not because of their appearance on 60 Minutes, because the Air Force has declared that the Whistleblower Protection Act protects them. So the Air Force says they're not going to do anything. But one of them was disciplined, reprimanded, which is really a career-ending move, for refusing to go up in the plane because a doctor advised him not to. So in my story, I point out that decision is not popular with some of the old flying jockeys out there, including a 3-star general I interviewed who said, hey, the Air Force has a problem. They shouldn't be reprimanding pilots. They should fix the problem, and then these pilots would not be going public like this.
Yeah, absolutely true. Have there been accidents as a result of this problem?
Not as a direct result. There have been two accidents. One was a test pilot and it was not related to oxygen. The other accident in November 2010, a system failed which supplies power to the cockpit, and that shut off the oxygen generating system, which in turn caused the pilot to become disoriented, and the plane went into a dive and it crashed. Kind of surprisingly, the Air Force did not blame the failure in the intake bleed system. It blamed the pilot for not recognizing that he had an oxygen problem and lowering his altitude. Mm. So they could not blame it on the oxygen generating system itself, which many people suspect is the root of the problem. But the Air Force says they've tested it, they've taken it apart, they've looked at it, and they say there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
But the problem to this day persists.
There's something called the Raptor cuff. What is that?
Well, that is they installed, one of the steps the Air Force took was to install a basic military active charcoal filter, which they concluded that, hey, if there's something wrong with the generating system, this system will filter out the contaminants, and it will also tell us what the contaminant is. Well, it didn't do that, but some of the charcoal seeped into the oxygen hose and thus got into the throats, the pilots say, got into their throats and lungs and caused them to have a persistent cough. And so ultimately the pilot started to dub it the Raptor cough because pilots would be in the ready room and all of them would be coughing. What was supposed to be a fix turned into an additional embarrassing problem for the Air Force. So they've taken the filters out, and now they are installing some sort of a contamination system, a sensor system,
yeah,
that is supposed to do the same job.
Wow. All right, so yeah. So where do we go from here? It seems as if the whole program is in limbo.
Well, the Air Force got a boost when the Pentagon finally allowed them to deploy the plane to a critically important area, and this was the Persian Gulf. And against, if we were to do something with Iran, that's where the F-22 would work, because if it performed as it should, it could penetrate Iranian airspace and take out air defenses, and that's one of its principal roles. But then, now the 60 Minutes episode has kicked the program back. There's no doubt about it. There's going to be more scrutiny. I would think Congress is probably going to have a special hearing on this. And is it possible they will stop funding or urge the Air Force to ground the plane until they find the ultimate root cause? That's a possibility, which, wouldn't be good for the program.
Mm. All right. Well, do me a favor. Keep me posted if there are any new developments on that. I would certainly appreciate it.
Will do.
All right, Rowan. Great to talk to you this afternoon. Appreciate it. Folks, if you haven't checked it out yet, it's in today's Washington Times. F-22 Raptor Pilots Make Problems Public. It's by Rowan Scarborough. We'll talk to you again. Thanks, Rowan.
So long, Andy.
See you. 446, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.